Hey, welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast from Doxa Church in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated from one another physically, we're reading, studying, and praying the Psalms together each morning as a way to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down. We want to get a bigger picture of God, a clear picture of ourselves, but most of all, we want to join ourselves together around the throne of the one who's joined himself to us. So if you haven't already, pull out a Bible and spend some time kind of on your own, just reading and meditating and thinking through Psalm 123. Psalm 123 starts like this. It says, "To you I lift up my eyes. O you who are enthroned in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hands of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us." Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. We're in this section of the Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And these would be the psalms that you would basically sing and you would pray as you were ascending the hill into Jerusalem. So it's meant for people who are on a journey towards the presence of God. That's where they've set their heart, and that's where they're setting their eyes. And Psalm 121 is actually a song that tells us to set our eyes to the hills, right? This is the place where the armies of God will come from. Like, that is our salvation. Expect it to come. So set your eyes to the hills. Psalm 122 tells us to set our eyes on Jerusalem, right? Even kind of closer to the presence of God, the place where God's presence dwells, the place of the temple. But Psalm 123 is a prayer that tells us to set our eyes on the one who sits on the throne himself. And these are songs of ascent, meaning that these are the prayers and songs of those who have chosen to journey towards the presence of God, meaning that those who are on this journey, that God himself, the one who sits on the throne, he is their aim and he is their goal. And so the psalmist tells us that those who desire such things in their heart will also desire such things with their eyes. Now, this is what Spurgeon says. He says we ought to be very thankful for spiritual eyes. Because the blind men of this world, right, however much human learning they may possess, they cannot behold our God. For in heavenly matters, they are completely devoid of sight. Yet we must use our eyes with resolution. For they will not go upward to the Lord themselves, but actually they incline to look downward or inward or anywhere but to the Lord. So let it be our firm resolve that the heavenward glance shall not be lacking. If we cannot see God, at least we will look towards him. Now, I love what Spurgeon's saying, because he's basically saying, hey, this isn't actually something that your eyes are naturally going to do, but this is a prayer we pray as we are intentionally focusing our eyes on the Lord, right? Our eyes want to look everywhere but to him, and so we need to intentionally cultivate this. But I love his last line, because he says, if we cannot see God, at least we will look towards him. My experience of Christianity often looks like this, right? It's like, you know God is the one you're after. You've set your heart on him. But so often, it's like the clouds and the fogs of life just kind of roll in. And it's like you can't see him. You want to experience his presence, but it's just like you can't. And the reality is that so much of the Christian life is this line, right? Even if we cannot see God, the tension is, will we at least look towards him, or will we let our eyes glance to something in us or around us that is much more tangible and seems much more pleasurable or easy in the moment? And what the psalm is doing is it's training us, as saying, no, you who are on this ascent, you who have chosen to follow Christ and journey towards the presence of God, you lift your eyes to him who sits on the throne. And the idea that the psalm paints is just one of focus, right? What are we looking at with our eyes is almost always what we are focused on with our heart. And he actually gives us this really interesting picture of what this looks like. Look what he says next. He says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hands of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us." Now, in a Middle Eastern context, it would actually be pretty normal for a master to give instruction with his hands, right? Very few words would be spoken, but it was actually up to the servant to basically sit and wait and watch for the smallest movement of the master, right? A master would motion with his hand, and the next course of a meal was to be brought out. He would lift up a certain finger, and something else was to be done. And so to set your eyes on the hands of your master was to be a servant whose whole life and attention were devoted to the desires of the master. And in order to do this, right, you couldn't be distracted by something else. You couldn't be even in another conversation with someone else. You couldn't be involved in anything else. You would literally just need to sit at the edge of the tent and watch with all your attention the hands of your master. And this psalm isn't trying to give us a commentary on the way that masters and servants related. It isn't even trying to give us some kind of, you know, justification for the practice of slavery. That's not what's happening here. But what the psalm is doing is it's trying to give us a picture of the way that Christians' eyes are meant to focus on their master. And so today as we pray this psalm, this question should come up for us. And it's just, where are our eyes? Where are our eyes today, this week, this month? One of the things I've been thinking about is, you know, how do we relate to the commands of God? Right, because his commands are basically his directives for our lives. And, you know, God doesn't necessarily move his hands, right, in a visible way for us, but he speaks to us through his word. And there are like large sections of the Bible where it feels like God's like yelling at us to get our attention. And then there are these like small moments of the Bible where it feels like he's whispering something, but it's still a directive for our lives that's meant to give us direction. And so the question I have is like, are we attentive to the word of God? Like focused on it? Like we read it as though this is the very thing that our lives are meant to do, is actually serve him as though he is our master. Right? Because there are good servants and there are bad ones, right? We can recognize that. And you've got some servants that are so distracted with other things that if you want anything done, you have to yell at them to get their attention. But then there are those servants whose eyes are on the master's hands, waiting, focused. And this is a prayer that shapes us to lift our eyes to the Lord, to focus our eyes on him like a servant focuses on the hands of their master. And it tells us why. It says, "So our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us." Mercy. The steadfast love and kindness of the Lord. And as soon as he says this, he keeps repeating it. He says, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." What's true in our lives is that we set our eyes on what we think we want. So if what we want is money, then we will set our eyes on our 401k and our stocks or our careers. And if what we want is fame, then we will set our eyes on our Instagram accounts and our social media, and that will be where our focus and attention goes. And if what we want is power, then we will set our eyes on politics or some other position of influence. Or if what we want is just escape, right, from the anxiety and kind of burden of our lives, then we will just set our eyes on Netflix or some other way of escaping. If what you want is the world's affirmation, then you will set your eyes on what you think they want and you will try desperately to become that. But if what you want is mercy, kindness, steadfast love, then there is only one place that you can set your eyes. This psalm is for people who have traveled the world and not found what they're looking for. It is a psalm for those who have been to the top of all the other mountains and not been satisfied by what they found there. It's a psalm for people who find themselves wholly unlike these people at the end of the psalm, who find themselves to not be at ease in their prosperity, who don't find themselves proud and just contemptible of other people, but actually find themselves humble and needy. And if you're that kind of person, then there's only one place to go. And there's only one place to set your eyes, and it's on the one who sits on the throne. And this prayer is given to those who are on this journey. And actually, as we pray it, it's meant to continue to shape us into these kind of people. So let's pray. Lord, to you we lift up our eyes. You are the one who is enthroned in the heavens. And God, the reality is that our eyes are so often set on so many things. But God, this morning as we pray, we are looking to you as servants. Our eyes are set on your hands, your directives, your laws. The smallest whisper from you, God, is like life to us. And so, God, we look to you. We long for you. We are journeying towards you, and we set our eyes on you because, God, at the end of the day, the thing we want is mercy. And this you have promised to us. So this morning, we set our eyes on you. We love you. In your name, amen.